हरे कृष्ण।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So yesterday we discussed the fifth chapter of the third canto. Go ahead. So just to have a quick summary of what we did yesterday. Yeah, just click the whole thing. So we discussed that Mahavishnu, who is a Swamsha expansion of the Lord of Mahavaikuntha, so he glanced over the material nature, and thus he impregnated the living entities into the womb of material nature. So at this stage, the material nature has three modes, but in an unmanifest or undifferentiated state, right? Then the material nature, which is otherwise called Pradhan, transformed itself into Mahatattva, right? In the Mahatattva, mode of goodness is predominant. It is called Mahatattva in mode of goodness. But when the rajas aspect of Mahatattva is prominent, it is called Sutra Tattva. And when the tamas aspect becomes prominent, it is called Ahankar. Right? And the Ahankar is manifested. The false ego is manifested in three modes: goodness, passion and ignorance. So in the goodness, so there is this, all these elements, these aspects, phases. Right? The Karta, doer, Adhideva, then mind and sense devatas appear. Then from Karana, cause, Adhyatma, senses appear. Then Karya, Adhibhuta, five Tanmatras and the five gross elements appear. Right? This sequence, you know, sound from, you know, from the Tanmatra, the gross element would appear. Then go ahead. So this is information from the previous chapters, from the second canto. Who are those sense devatas, which are coming from this mode of goodness? So at this stage of creation, we have these 23 elements, which is Mahatattva, Tanmatras, five Tanmatras, then five gross elements, 11 senses and Ahankara. These 23 elements are present at this stage of creation. Right? They are in an unmixed state. They are not, there was no cohesion happened amongst them. That is the fifth chapter, 38th verse. This is the status. After the 38th verse, actually intelligence is coming here in the passion. intelligence and prana, but that mention is not there in this this particular section, 5th chapter. So I didn't include them, right? And that's not also included in the, as a part of 23 elements also. So at this stage, whatever is presented in this chapter only I just kept. Otherwise we can put Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, all those also, right? This is only according to the 5th chapter. So yeah, we left at that stage. Now that will continue from the 6th chapter, 1st verse onwards. So after, post this, we had the prayers of the demigods, elements, right, presiding deities of the elements. So this is universal form. This is the first time I am speaking on the universal form, and this is the first time I am using a PowerPoint in Vidyapeeth Bhagavatam class. So I will present to the best of my understanding. So if in future if you find out that some details are like it can be explained in a better way, or right, there is a better understanding than this, then I am not responsible. I am just saying whatever I am presenting, whatever is my understanding. I must definitely acknowledge Balaram Shakti Prabhu for answering some of my, you know, queries in this chapter 3.6. Before even beginning this chapter, we'll just recollect, go to 3.6.35. Etat Kshatra Bhagavato. So after describing the whole universal form, Maitreya Muni is saying, O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of Supreme Personality of Godhead? After giving the whole description, Maitreya Muni himself also says that I cannot completely describe this universal form, right? So if he is at that level, then at that his level he says that, then we are like quite insignificant. So I'll present whatever is my understanding. So we'll begin with the first verse. Rishir Uvacha Iti Tasam Svalo Svashaktinam Satinam Asametyasaham Prasupta Loka Tantranam Nishamya Gatimishwaraham. So whatever is being presented here is a combination of what Prabhupada explained and what Chakravartipada explained and what Bhurijan Prabhu explained in Unveiling the Lotus Feet. I had these three references and I discussed with Balaram Shakti Prabhu and some other devotees who are good at this subject matter. So yesterday we saw that the demigods, the elemental demigods, right, the presiding deities of these 23 elements, prayed to the Lord that we are in an unmixed state, right? Without this, with by separately being manifested, how do we function as a part of service to you? So please do something, do the needful. Then Lord saw that the left side is the translation, right, the theme of the verse, and this is some punching point or the essence of the purport here. So that's how this slide is. You are all given the handouts. One sheet. Jagannath Yatra Prabhu? He didn't come. Okay. I gave him handouts. Later he will distribute to you. He did not note down all this. So he will give you handouts. So Lord saw that the creative functions are suspended because the elements are in unmixed or sleeping state. So what he has done is explained from the second verse. Before that, Prabhupada is saying that there is nothing wanting in Lord's creation. All the potencies are there in a dormant state. At this stage, the potencies are there in a dormant state. So, but unless they are combined by the will of the Lord, unless they are combined by the Supreme Lord's will and intervention, so then nothing can progress. Right? 23 elements are there, they are in unmixed state. So now Lord has to do something to bind them. Right? Then only the creation can go further. So now this proves that without Lord's direction and intervention, nothing can move forward. Bhurijan Prabhu gives an example that watchmaker is there, he will make a watch and it will function on its own. But Lord, the creation means at every step Lord is involved. Yesterday, even for the manifestation of individual elements, Lord's glance is an important ingredient. Right? So similarly, after the elements manifested also, they can't function on their own. So Lord has to enter them and bind them so that they can amalgamate and then function. In the 10th canto, this beautiful analogy comes that this whole material nature seems to be functioning on its own. However, it is not so. Just like a bowman is there, he has an arrow, he'll just shoot the arrow and that will go and kill a demon or do the job, kill the enemy. You can't attribute the whole credit to the arrow. It is the strength and the skill of the bowman which is making the arrow function in such a way. So the credit should go to the bowman, not the arrow. Right? Unless the bowman shows his expertise, one cannot, the arrow itself cannot go and kill the demon. So similarly, material nature is like that arrow, which is functioning, which is doing things. But behind the functionings of material nature, the Supreme Lord is there. He is the foundation. So that is mentioned here. So the suspension of creation at this stage demonstrates that there is full dependence on Lord's potency at each and every step of the creation, not the demigods. Demigods are there now, elements are there, but nothing can move forward without Lord intervening. Then second verse.
Kala samyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tattvanam ganam yagapada vishat.
So what the Lord's response after the demigod's prayers is, Lord entered these elements, right? How did the Lord enter? Through the medium of his Kala Shakti. Kali Shakti. That's what it's mentioned. Kala Samyam means the Shakti of the Lord, the external energy of the Lord known as Kali. This Kali is nothing but time. This time is represented by the demigoddess Kali. Right? So Lord entered these elements through Kala Shakti. This Kali Shakti is called the energy of cohesion or energy of amalgamation. So that energy of the Lord which allows the elements to come together, bind together, that is called energy of cohesion. That is this Kali energy. So Lord entered these elements. So now this is mentioned that the Supreme Powerful Lord then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements with the goddess Kali. So Chakravartipad explains. So here is some ambiguity in the chronology. So it takes a lot of time to understand the whole thing. Chakravartipad explains that Lord sent his cohesive energy first. The Kali energy entered the elements first, and after 1,000 years, Lord entered as Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. It's not that both entered at the same time. First, Lord entered as his cohesive energy. First, he had sent his Kali energy. And after the universes were there, assembly of universes happening, right, where it replied for 1,000 years, then the Lord entered as Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. Yesterday, all the elemental demigods prayed to the Karanodak Sai Vishnu, right, that we are in an unmixed state. Now what's happening is, Lord had sent, in response to those prayers, Lord had sent the Kali energy, the energy of cohesion, right, for the binding to happen. After 1,000 years, he will enter. Right? So this is given by Chakravartipad.
Some points from the purport.
Yeah, what are the 23 elements? Prabhupada and Chakravarti mentioned there. So these 23 elements are combined by the influence of time. So time or Kali or the cohesive energy, they are all same. Right? Now, Prabhupada gives three references to explain that Lord is the ultimate cause of all causes. At this point, Lord is the cause of the amalgamation of these 23 elements and manifestation of the universe. He is the cause of that. So earlier you must have learnt in the second chapter, there is one description of universal form. 6th chapter, another description. 10th chapter, another description. In the second chapter, the description is as the dharanasraya of attached yogi. In the 6th chapter, what is that? One person, please. 6th chapter, what was the reason for? Yeah, how Lord is the material cause of all manifestations in the universe. The last chapter, desire. So how universal Lord, when he desires, things are manifesting, right? Here, the description of this universal form, which begins from the 11th verse onwards. So the purpose of this description is, Lord manifested the universal form so that all the demigods who prayed yesterday, so they can take their positions in the universal form. As the universal form is manifesting his limbs, the abodes of all the demigods are created and they took their seats. Right? So, Prabhuji, yesterday you were asking about the names of these demigods. Yesterday, they are mentioned in this chapter. Sorry, I couldn't say that yesterday. So, coming back to this purport, Prabhupada gives three references that Lord is the ultimate cause of all this amalgamation or cohesion that is happening. You can see the three. Ekopya Saurajetam Jagadandakotim, then Athava Bahunaitena. He gives these references. So the wonderful activities of material nature are due to Krishna. And thus, he is the final cause or the ultimate cause of all causes. So that is the whole theme of this underlying foundation of the whole description of universal form in this chapter. Then, yes, Prabhuji. That we'll discuss as the in due course of time. Virat Roop manifests after Garbhodaksaya Vishnu enters. But the ingredients for the manifestation of Virat Roop are lying along with the living entities for 1,000 years before the entrance of Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. Yeah, Kali is time. Time is external energy of the Lord, which is represented by Goddess Kali. Yeah. There that material nature is there. See, external energy. See, the material nature is also external energy of the Lord. Time is also external energy of the Lord. Right? So all are external energies only. You see, we can't just get confused by this. Sometimes Atma is called the soul, sometimes the super soul, sometimes the body, sometimes the mind. The same word Atma is used to indicate different elements, right? Depending on the context. So acharyas give explanation of what this word means in this context. So external energy here is represented by Kali, time, right? Durga is external energy, right? So to understand this, Shyamananda Prabhu gives a nice example. For example, there is a coconut tree. You pluck out a coconut there. See, a green, big football structure is in your hand. So this is called coconut. So you remove the green covering. Then what you hold is also coconut. Then you remove the, the fibers, brown fibers. The shell is there. That is also coconut. You remove the shell. The white pulp is there. That is also coconut. So, person who knows, what is coconut, he thinks he has no confusion at all. Right? That is Acharya. So, he knows what is coconut. He can understand. So, for an ignorant person, he can explain. Prabhu, this is coconut pulp, this is coconut shell, this is coconut fiber, this is the coconut covering skin, right? This is coconut water. So now there are different things, but all of them can be called coconut also, right? So acharyas know which is pulp, which is shell, which is fiber. We don't know. So it's like that. Depending on the context, the meaning changes, right? So here, Krishna is the cause of all causes. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. Now, this whole explanation from first, second, third verses, but the actual description of Virat Roop is indicating that, as you know, Virat Roop is manifesting the limbs, the abodes of demigods are being created. We'll come to that.
So Anupravishto Bhagavams Cheshtarupenatam gunam Bhinnam samyo jayam asam Suptam karma prabodhayam.
So third verse is little confusing, that after the Lord entered with his kriya shakti, all the jivas got awakened and their dormant karmas also got awakened, right? I mean, something like they are lying dormant in dormant stage for 1,000 years, for the next 1,000 years. So this happens, this living entity is awakening from, you know, their karma and everything is awakening after the Lord enters. But at this stage, only the Kala Shakti, or the Kali Shakti is entering, right? Lord will enter after 1,000 years. So this detail is correct here, but as far as chronology is concerned, so the awakening of the dormant karmas of living entities could happen only after 1,000 years. That's all, that is my understanding. Right. So now Prabhupada gives very brilliant lessons here in this purport. Conditioned souls remain unconscious after dissolution, right? And in every creation they are given a chance to know the sambandha, abhideya, prayojana from the Vedas, and they can go back to Godhead. So now this is the details of creation are there, but the purpose of creation we cannot effort to skip or neglect by being absorbed in the details of creation. So Prabhupada oftentimes reminds in all these chapters that the creation is happening only to give the conditioned soul another chance to go back to Godhead, right? One chance to exercise his free will and exercise his false controllership over the material nature, right? And on the other hand, he also has an opportunity to learn from the Vedic scriptures and acharyas that he cannot control. There is another controller. I have to surrender to that controller and go back to Godhead. That is the purpose. Right? Super soul awakens the forgetful soul and reminds him of his past activities. So now the conditioned soul has so many desires. So after dissolution, he went into a dormant state. When the creation is again happening, the super soul is awakening. You get up, you had so many desires in the previous creation. Now, this is the time. You exercise that things, right? And then begins to act according to his next life. So now, somebody is torturing us, troubling us, not acting according to our will. How long can we tolerate a person like that? But super soul, the Supreme Lord, he has unlimited patience that he is tolerating the activities of unlimited living entities for unlimited amount of time. Right? How many millions of times the living entity must have acted against the will of the Supreme Lord? Right? He doesn't have false ego. If someone is acting against our will, he'll say, no more relation with you. But super soul is repeatedly enacting this pastime. Super soul awakens the forgetful soul and reminds him of his past desires. And thus he begins to act according to accordingly in his next life. Right? So Krishna, because he is unlimited, he is infinite, he has infinite patience, infinite tolerance, infinite forgiveness. Right? That he would again want to establish the lost relationship between the living entity and himself. Right? So this material world is filled with people who hate Krishna. Some say Krishna doesn't have a form, Krishna, he doesn't have a name, God doesn't have a name, God doesn't have a form, God has died, right? He doesn't exist only. All these kind of things are coming, but still Lord will continue to exist and stay right in their hearts. Right? That's why he's called Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. So Prabhupada says that this unseen guidance of the super soul is described as fate. And now Prabhupada brings out another point, that the living entity was in a dormant state at the time of dissolution. So this unconscious sleeping state of the soul, it happens in the partial dissolution for a few months, it happens in the complete dissolution for millions of years. But whatever it may be, this unconscious state of sleeping soul is not the final stage of life. When someone dies, some people will say that that's the end of the whole thing. Right? But this dormant stage is not a permanent stage. And the next creation, he will again get up. And then again, he will take a form and starts functioning. So what is natural for the natural for a soul is a wakeful, conscious state. What is unnatural is a dormant, sleeping state. That's what Prabhupada explains here. Right? Wakeful state of consciousness and acting according to the desires is the natural condition of eternal soul. And desiring and acting are natural for the soul. So when we desire and act for the service of the Lord, that becomes the perfection of the soul, and he will go back to Godhead. Then this creation whole thing will stop. He'll be out of the scene.
Next verse, fourth verse. Prabuddha karma devena trayo vimshati ko guna prerito janayat svabhir matrabhir abhipurasham.
So, when the Kala Shakti entered, when the amalgamation is taking place, then Virat Rup came into existence. So, at this stage, before the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu entered the universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, right, at this stage, the first 1000 years, Virat Rup is there, but the ingredients for the manifestation of different things of, the actual Virat Rup are there. But actual Virat Rup manifests only after Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters. So this Virat Rup is not an eternal form. That's what Prabhupada says. It's manifested by the supreme will of the Lord after the ingredients of material creation. Krishna exhibited the Virat Rup, not that Virat Rup exhibited Krishna, Prabhupada says. So Krishna, by exhibiting Virat Rup, proved to the impersonalist that he is the supreme source of all forms. So Virat Rup and Archa Vigraha both are material manifestations, but still, in spite of their material touch, both are non-different from the eternal forms of Krishna. Then, now from next verse onwards, the development of Virat Rup is described.
Parena Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvashrigana Chakshobhanyon Yamasadhyam Yasmin lokas chara chara.
So elements combined together and they formed a fetus. Right? Elements were separated in the first verse, so Lord sent Kala Shakti and they started combining together and they formed a fetus. So in this potentially all the lokas and movable and immovable things, characharas existed, right? They will come into full manifestation after Garbhodaksha Vishnu enters. So Prabhupada says that matter does not increase or decrease unless it is spiritually touched. That is the theme. So the spirit has to enter. So one should not now Lord's entry as plenary portion. So cosmos increase the volume. When Lord enters, then the cosmos, the details of cosmos will start manifesting. So just like the presence of soul in the material body will make it animate, or will make it say, expand or contract or whatever. So similarly, Lord's entrance only will manifest the details of cosmos. Otherwise, they are matter only. So there is analogy. These two things are similar. Soul's presence in the body, Supreme Lord's presence in the whole universe. But one should not foolishly think that the individual infinitesimal soul is the cause of gigantic manifestation of universal form. Prabhupada says. So these are like two similar things happening. But the quantity is different. When Supreme Lord enters, he will manifest the entire universal form. But when small soul enters, he will manifest only this body. Right? These two cannot be compared. Universal form is the Virat Roop, because Supreme Lord is within it as his plenary portion. Okay. Now, here only Prabhupada says in the next, in the sixth purport, he says, text 6 describes the intervening period before the manifestation takes place and after the entrance of Vishnu within each universe. Okay, we'll read text 6. Hiranmaya sa purusha sahasra parivatsaran andakosha uvasapsu sarvasattvopabrahmita. So Virat Roop is lying there. So Chakravarti says that this golden form was the totality of the universe. This golden Hiranmaya, golden universal form. So he gives two explanations for this sentence. He remained in the Garbhodaka waters within the shell of universe, or he remained in the universe which was in the Karana water. Both are same. Right? He remained within the waters of Garbhodaksha ocean within the universal shell. But he is actually lying within the Karana ocean only, within the universe. Right? It could mean the both. So Prabhupada speaks about Brahma is the first living entity. Then Manu is the original father of mankind. Humanity in different bodily qualities is distributed throughout the various planetary systems. Okay, next verse, seventh verse. Savai Vishvasrijam Garbho Devakarma Atmashaktiman Vibhajatmanatmanam Ekadha Dashadhatridha. So after the Virat Roop was lying for 1,000 celestial years along with all the living entities in the waters, right? Then after 1,000 years Garbhodaksha Vishnu entered. After that this whole thing is manifesting. So this is in line with 2.5, second canto, fifth chapter also, after the Karan Srishti, Karya Srishti comes. So there also this detail is given. So consciousness, so now Virat Roop is dividing himself into three, 1 and 10. So what are these 3, 1 and 10? Ninth verse more elaborately explains, but at this stage Prabhupada explains about 1, 10 and 3. 1 is the Jiva Shakti, and 10 Prana Shaktis are there, and 3 Atma Shaktis are there. 1 Jiva Shakti, which is imbued with consciousness of living entities, then 10 Prana Shaktis, which are the life airs, then 3 Atma Shaktis, with which there is the self-identification. So this is like summary of the purport. So consciousness is the sign of living entity. It is called the Jnana Shakti, Prabhupada says. The total consciousness is that of the gigantic Virat Roop, and the same consciousness is exhibited in the individual persons. Individual person has certain consciousness. So total consciousness is in the Virat Roop, that is manifested in individual persons. So now Prabhupada speaks about polluted and pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means there is complete synthesis with the supreme consciousness. What is that? Devotional service. Polluted consciousness means many branched under the false ego of bodily identification. Right? Bahushaka hyanantasya. So Prabhupada gives lessons also. When the technical flow is going, Prabhupada is giving lessons. Right? The next part is the life air. So consciousness we discussed, the activity of consciousness is performed through the life airs. So there are 10 kinds of life airs. Prana, pana, udana, vyana, samana, naga, kurma, all that. That we'll discuss in the next verse. Then the third part is Atma Shaktis, three. That is self-identification of the consciousness in three modes. So that is, three modes is Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika. Adhyatmika means the identification with body and mind. Adhibhautika is identification with the material products. And Adhidaivika is identifying oneself as servant of the Lord. These are the three kinds of self-identification. So Virat Roop manifested, the different aspects of Virat Roop are this. 1, 10 and 3. 1 is the Jiva Shakti with consciousness. 10 life airs. Then 3 kinds of self-identification. As servant of the Lord or with material products, with mind, this and that. So it is foolish to try to stop the activities of consciousness. But they can be purified when they are dovetailed with the Supreme. So Prabhupada is speaking about the origin of consciousness in the manifestation of Virat Roop. At the same time, he is also giving a practical application point, how to utilize this consciousness. So along with learning the details, the technical details of creation or universal form, we should understand what are the practical application points that Prabhupada is giving also. So Prabhupada's style is to give many personal application, practical application points. Then the next verse. Eighth verse is like explaining the significance of universal form. Esha yasesha sattvanam atmamsha paramatmanah adyovataro yatrasau bhutagramo vibhavyate. So the significance of the universal form is given in this verse. So everything, like the unlimited living entities and the whole aggregate creation, is resting on this gigantic Virat Roop. So it's like the first incarnation, first descent of the Lord into this material realm. He is through the medium of universal form. So for more details of universal form, we'll just read out few statements by Bhurjan Prabhu in Unveiling the Lotus Feet. And from Chakravarti Pada also. This universal form is first worshipped for purifying the heart of Paramatma worshippers. 2.2, right? Second canto. Then, this is like the Atma of unlimited beings. Since the individual Atmas are parts of this form, and another way is, it is the Jiva belonging to Paramatma. It is the original avatar, means the first descent of the Lord into this material realm, as we discussed. So, one nice statement by Bhurjan Prabhu is, a person is there, the soul, and he has a subtle body and he has a gross body, right? So now the subtle material form by which the Lord perverts the universe while displaying everything in the universe is called his universal form. So we have a subtle form and we have a gross form. So the subtle form through which the Lord pervades the entire universe is called the universal form. getting.
So
a person, a soul, has a subtle form and a gross form. Similarly, the Lord is there, he has a subtle form and a gross form. So the subtle form with which Lord is pervading the entire universe is called the universal form. Hiranyagarbha, that is also Hiranmaya, Hiranyagarbha. And the gross form is the universe itself. Gross form is the universe, subtle form is the universal form, and the soul is the Supreme Lord only. Here, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. So the soul encased in matter possesses both a subtle and gross body, with the gross body based on the subtle. So now gross body is based on the subtle. So similarly, super soul possesses a subtle body, which is universal form, and a gross manifestation of it, which is the universe. That is the significance of universal form. Now the next verse, 9th verse, it is the continuation of 7th verse. After saying, you know, 10, 1, 7, 10, 1, 3, so he explains, super soul subtle body is Virat Rupa, universal form. And the gross body of super soul is universe, universe itself. So now text 9 is explaining about what is the 3, 2, 1 in little more detail. That is Adhyatma Adhibhuta. Sadhyatma Sadhi Devascha Sadhibhuta Iti Tridha Virat Prano Dashavidha Ekadha Hridayenacha. So, 7th verse says that the universal form is represented by 3, 10, 1. The same thing is mentioned here in reverse order. What are the 3, 10, 1? Oh, you don't have fonts. Okay. So, the 3, as explained by Prabhupada, is, Chakravartipada is, Sadhyatma means senses, Sadhideva. See the first two lines of 9th verse. Adhyatma, Adhideva, Adhibhuta. These are the 3. See the third line. Dashavidha is that prana, 10 life airs. Last line you see, Ekadha is Hridayana, the heart, the root of consciousness. These are the 10, 3 and 1. So Chakravartipada explains that this Adhyatma is senses, Adhideva is devatas, and Adhibhuta is the gross sense organs and the sense objects. So these are the things is mentioned, this one. And Prabhupada simply says the 3 Atma Shaktis, these 3 are body, mind and senses. Now Prana Shakti is 10 life airs, then Jiva Shakti is 1, where the heart is there, Hridaya. Getting, no? So these are the 3. Yes, Prabhu. Gross sense organs, we will discuss that in detail now. Gross sense organs are the gross sense organs of the Virat Rup. His mouth, his tongue, whatever. Not tongue, other things. Now, that is about 3, 10 and 1. So, 10, some details are given in both purports, Chakravartipada and Prabhupada. Go to the next slide. These are the 10 life airs. Right? Prana, apana, samana, udana, vyana. These are the gross airs. Prana is the air in the nose. Apana is the rectum, evacuated air. Samana is the that air which adjusts the stomach. Sounds as belching. So these are the airs. And the next 5 are the more subtler airs, which allows us to open the eyes, close the eyes, all that. So details you can study, not much to discuss. Right. Go ahead. I gave the in the printout. So 3 is done, 10 is done, and the 1, which is heart. So he is the 1, means in the sense that He is the one heart where life energy is generated. The one refers to the jiva with unbroken consciousness, hridaya. So Prabhupada explains in little detail about this heart. Lord is seated within the heart with the soul. Lord helps one to remember him or forget him. 15.15, 10.10, Prabhupada quotes all this. So basically heart is that one. Understand the difference between the super soul and soul. So if the witnessing bird is there, one is the eating bird. So Prabhupada explains all this. The Buddhi Yoga process of self-realization with intelligence transcendental to mind can alone elevate one from the conditioned state of material entanglement in the cosmic construction. The conditioned state of living entity is like that of a person who is within the depths of use mechanical arrangement. The lesson here is, so we are captured in this whole mechanism, but we are living in this body, in this heart region, along with the super soul. To come out of this whole complicated network, take shelter of the process of devotional service. So Prabhupada often reminds in the midst, in the flow of the technical details of universal form or creation, often reminds us what is our duty to do here. So we need to, while focusing on the details, we should not lose focus on the essence or what we have to do. That is important. So basically, to summarize the whole nice important lessons in this context, 5th and 6th chapter, creation and universal form, are: 1. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Without his intervention, nothing will move forward. That's what is the this last 10 verses are. And the purpose of material creation is to give chance to the conditioned soul to go back to Godhead, to understand his position. He is meant for the transcendental sense gratification of the Lord. He has to go back to Godhead. Then, false ego is the root of creation. That's what we learned yesterday. Right? One has to overcome this false ego by surrendering unto Krishna through the medium of Guru. So these are the most critical lessons of the universal form and creation. Right? And the details that we are discussing. Heart of Prabhupada is saying that the law, universal form is 3-10-1, right? He is one in the sense that he is the jiva with unbroken consciousness, the hridaya. Universal form is represented by the hridaya, or the heart of the living entity, right? So the heart is the source of everything. That Lord is seated within the heart, the soul is seated within the heart, and Prabhupada explains that one has to perform the Buddhi Yoga. Right? The Prabhupada brings this point by giving this example. Super soul and soul both are sitting in the heart, right? But the soul is eating the fruits and super soul is witnessing the eating process. So soul should not eat the fruits only, he should perform devotional service. So that's how Prabhupada just gave a lesson there. Right? It's not like connection or anything like that, but what we need to do. So now 10th verse is explaining. The living entity is heart, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. This is all about living entity only. Living entity only. The 10 kinds of air is also living entity. Means the Virat Roop is the containing all the living entities put together, right? He is the source of all these 10 airs or heart or whatever of all the living entities. So like that. So he is represented in these three things. Aggregate of all living entities. Next verse. Smaran Vishvasrijam Isho Vignapitam Adhokshajah Virajam Atapat Svena Tejasaisam Vivrittaya. So the whole process Lord is doing in response to the prayers of demigods yesterday in 3.5. So Lord is manifesting this universal form so that the elements could perform their functions. Prabhupada says that the Lord is difficult to understand by mundane perception. Impersonalists are captivated by gigantic universal form and fail to understand the cause. Prabhupada says, intelligent persons can estimate the value of the effect by knowing the value of the cause by knowing the wonders of the effect. Now, universal form means the whole universe is appearing so wonderful. So some people are just caught up in this universal form only. But an intelligent person will understand that there is a person behind this manifestation of the whole universal form, all the wonders of the material nature, and he will appreciate that cause, which is the Supreme Lord. That is the lesson in this purport. So now from 11th verse onwards, the manifestation of abodes of different demigods from the universal form. What is this? This is a summary of whatever we discussed so far in the first 10 verses. So, the 23 elements were in an unmixed state. First, then Lord saw them in an unmixed state and he had sent his Kali energy, energy of cohesion, to bind the 23 elements. Right? Then, all the jivas and their dormant karmas got awakened. That's what is mentioned in the third verse. And the elements got combined. And Virat Rup came into existence. Then the elements combined together to form a fetus. And in that fetus, all the movable and immovable living entities and all the lokas, planets are existing. So like that, the fetus or the golden Virat Rup called Hiranmaya lied along with all the living entities for 1,000 years. Then Garbhadaksha Vishnu entered there. Right? Then he is represented in three things, three parts. Right? 1, 10, and 3. 1 is the Jiva Shakti, consciousness. 10 are the life airs, which we just saw the table. Then 3 are the 3 types of self-identification. They are called Atma Shakti, Adhyatma senses, Adhibhuta, sense organs and sense objects. Then Adhidaiva are the sense devatas. These are the 3 parts in which Virat Rup is representing itself. Then go ahead, the 11th. Yes, please. No. Virat Rup was, the ingredients for the manifestation of actual Virat Rup were existing there. And all the living entities were in dormant state. When Lord enters, then all the different parts of Virat Rup started manifesting. It was called like that, Prabhu. I clarified with Balram Shakti Prabhu and saw some other things. But after Lord enters, only the actual Virat Rup manifests. The ingredients for manifestation of Virat Rup were present there. That's the, I was also confused with that. And actually, to add to the whole thing, the second verse says that Lord entered. Lord entered along with Kala Shakti in the second verse only. As his energy, and after the couple of verses also, living entities got awakened, Lord entered. But Chakravarti clearly says, Lord entered with energy means first energy entered and after 1,000 years Lord entered. So the clear chronology is not so apparent in the verses. Yes, no, demigods prayed yesterday only, no? In the elemental stage only. They prayed, then only the Lord entered through cohesive energy. Then after that 1,000 years he entered. Second time they prayed? No, that's not mentioned at least. Elemental demigods prayed to Karanodaksaya Vishnu. Then Lord had sent the cohesive energy. And after 1,000 years, Lord entered as Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. And Virat Rup manifested. 23.
Now, 11th verse, right? Atatasyabhi tattasya katidhyaya tana nitha nirabhidyanta devanam tani me gatatasrunu. Diverse forms of the demigods. Then Chakravarti says, he manifested the abodes of the demigods. Right? So, these are some little differences in detail. This is there. Then, 12th verse. Tasyagnir asayam nirbhinnam Lokapalo Vishatpadam Vachasvam Sena Vaktavyam Vyasau Pratipadyate.
So, agreed.
So, Prabhupada's description of this, whatever, 11 to 26 verses, while the abodes of demigods are being created, Prabhupada's description is in one style, and Chakravarti's description is in a different style. Both are agreeing to the same point, but some extra detail is added in one description. What Prabhupada says is, as the limbs of the universal form are separately being manifested, the abodes of different demigods are created and the living entities are getting the ability to exercise their sensory functions. Clear? Now, the 12th verse we read, when Virat Roop is manifesting his mouth, see the middle line, Virat Roop is manifested his mouth, then Agni entered there. And as Agni took his position, Agni took his position there, then all the living entities will get the ability to express themselves in words. So this is the sensory function that such a demigod is giving to the living entities while sitting in the limb of Virat Roop, mouth. And while the Virat Roop is manifesting its limb, mouth. So, particular demigod is sitting there in that abode and he gives the ability to perform certain sensory function to all the living entities. That is the theme of whole Prabhupada's description. So, now we will read all these verses till 26. Read the translations only and see the table. Right? Not much to explain. This is the formula kind of thing. This is the whole format of all these verses. Read. Right? See the second line? I just gave one example only in your sheet. This is the whole thing. Yeah, next. Nostrils. So these are the demigods who prayed yesterday. Already there. They prayed yesterday. They're active. They got spontaneously some bodies by the mercy of the Lord. That's what we discussed yesterday. So where they were staying and standing and praying, we don't know. But they elemental devatas manifested and they are given bodies by the mercy of the Lord and they offered prayers.
then Lord had sent them for the cohesion to happen. So elements are there, there are presiding deities who prayed. When the Lord entered, when the cohesive energy entered, then the elements started combining. And the demigods are there, they have taken positions in the universal forms, different limbs. Right, Nambu? Living entity gets the ability to express himself in this world by the power given by Agni, who is sitting in the mouth of Viratrup. Later. That will happen later. Director of air. The pilot of the gigantic form was separately manifested, Varuna, the director of air in the planetary systems. It's water. In Vedavas it is written as water, he says. Yes, bro. Not air. Yes, bro. Go ahead.
When there was a manifestation of skin separated from the gigantic form, Anila, the deity directing the wind, entered with partial touch, and thus the living entity can realize tactile knowledge. When the ears of the gigantic form becomes manifested, all the controlling duties of the directions enter into them with the hearing principle, by which all the living entity hear and take advantage of sound.
So when sound came, Prabhupada gave a purport. Ear is the most important element in the body, instrument in the body for all living entities. Sound is most important medium for carrying the message to distant and unknown things. Perfection of all sound or knowledge enters through the ear and makes one's life perfect. The entire Vedic wisdom of knowledge is received by oral reception only. And this sound is the most important source of knowledge. Yah karna nadim purushasya yate bhava pradam geharitim chinatti pravishta karna randhrena swana bhava saroruhum. So karna is very important. Karna means ear. Yeah, go ahead. Maharaj also once explained that mind is in the heart. Some say it is here, but actually mind is a heart. So brain is a mechanism for the manifestation of mind's thoughts or whatever, but mind is actually situated in the heart.
Thereafter, the materialistic ego of the gigantic form separately manifesting itself
So that is how Prabhupada's translations take us through the manifestation of different abodes of demigods. Yeah, now go ahead, next slide. This is what Chakravartipad says. Can you give me the sheet, Prabhu? So Chakravartipad says that when the gross organ of the Virat Roop is manifesting, that acts as the gross location where the subtle sense resides. Right? So that gives to Adhyatma the subtle organ and Adhideva the sense devata. So sense devata is staying in the gross organ of Virat Roop, right, with a subtle organ, and the sense object and action of organ are manifesting from that. So this is the equation which is framed from 12th commentary, 12th purport of Chakravartipad, right? So now in this equation we will see whatever we have read so far. You see, go to the next slide. So this is the equation. That is the verse. Oh, it's not here. Yeah, second canto also something similar appears. This is 13th verse, no? 13th verse. Read the 13th verse. Chakravartipad, you may not. You know, you have, no, bro. So nirbhinnam talu varno lokapalo vishadhare jihvasyamsena charasam yasyasau pratipadyate. So when the palate, which is adibhuta or adhishtana, so when the palate of the Virat Roop is being differentiated, is being separately manifested, the presiding deity Varuna, who is the Adhideva, entered there along with subtle organ, subtle sense organ, Adhyatma, which is the tongue. Right? And by that tongue, that form could experience taste. So here Chakravartipad says in his series that Virat Roop is experiencing taste. Virat Roop can experience taste because of that, Adhyatma, this sense devata. Right? Chakravartipad, Prabhupada says living entity is experiencing. Living entity will get the ability. So both are the same. So this is the equation. So the extra detail here is this subtle organ, Adhyatma. Prabhupada's thing is Adibhuta, the gross organ of Virat Roop is manifested, and sense devata is sitting there, right? And living entities will get the ability to experience certain sensory functions. Prabhupada says as the gross organ of Virat Roop is manifesting, sense devata will sit there along with the subtle sense organ, and Virat Roop will be able to experience certain sensory function. That is the only difference. Same, both are same. So both are very much in line. The only extra detail here is the subtle sense organ. So Chakravartipad gives in every translation the Adhyatma, the subtle sense organ also. Go to the next slide. So this is the chart of that. Yeah, go ahead. I think you can do it on your own. So that is the equation basically, which I gave in the sheets. One example also I gave. Yeah, we can go ahead. So far the demigods' abodes are manifested in the Virat Roop, plus the ability to experience certain sensory functions also manifested along with the demigods. Okay, then the next part of this discussion is the manifestation of different planets for different people and their residences also. That is mentioned from 27th verse onwards. 27. Vidura asks about Sukhaya Karmani, after that about Purushavatara, that is answered yesterday, and later is Virat Roop. That is this third question. Sixth question is about the different resonances of different living entities. No, that is not mentioned clear here explicitly, but we can say about the planetary systems here in the positioning of Virat Roop. Living conditions will come later also in the third canto.
Sirshnosya Sri Sirshosnyadyordhara Padbhyam Khamnabher Upapadyata Gunanam Vrittayo Yeshu Pratiyante Suradhyaya Suradhyaya. Atyantikena sattvena divam deva prapedire dharam rajah svabhavena panayoye chatan anu. Tartiyena svabhavena Bhagavanna bhimashrita Ubhayorantaram vyoma Yorudra parshadam gana.
Summary of these three verses in this table, right? So head, abdomen, legs, then in from the head heavenly planets are coming, and the demigods who are in mode of goodness are staying in heavenly planets, which is represented by the head of Virat Roop. Same thing with other two.
So Prabhupada speaks about few points in 28th purport about the demigods. So demigods are surcharged with mode of goodness, but others who are surcharged with more of ignorance are degraded to lower planetary systems.
So that same thing, go back. So who are in mode of goodness are in the higher planetary systems, who are in mode of ignorance are in lower planetary systems, who are in passion are somewhere in the middle, right? That is what is mentioned. That's how it is.
Yeah, there's some explanation in 28 and 29 purports. Next, 30. From 30 onwards, we will see the manifestation of varnas. Different varnas. Mukhato vartata brahma Purushasya kurudvaha Yastun mukhatvad varnanam Mukhyobhud brahmano guru.
So from the mouth, the brahmanas are coming. So Prabhupada says in the third canto, 15th or 16th chapter, the Supreme Lord says that I eat through the mouth of brahmanas. So one should feed the brahmanas. And Prabhupada says that brahmanas should not only eat on behalf of the Lord, they should speak Vedic wisdom also, glorifying the Lord. So everything is one. Everyone is situated in the body of the Supreme in the gigantic Vishwarupa. So now, in a body, all parts are important. Right? All parts are important. Suppose we have our hand is cut, or our leg is cut, or our ear is cut. We feel the same amount of anxiety and pain right? Although every limb of the body is important, still head is very crucial. If somebody's hand is cut, he can still continue to live. If somebody's head is cut, he will not continue to live. So in that sense, Brahmanas are very important in the society.
That's what Prabhupada says. Mouth is very important.
If mouth is cut, he cannot live. One cannot feed the body. And several points about Brahmanas, Prabhupada explains. One who is not inclined to the Vedic wisdom, but to mundane affairs, cannot be called Brahmana. He may have a Brahmana birth, but his activity decides whether he is a Brahmana or a other caste. Anyone from any family, from any part of the world, may become inclined to the Vedic wisdom, and he will qualify as Brahmana.
Satkarmani Pino Vipro Mantra Tantra Visarada. Okay. Kibha Vipra Kivanyasa. Sudra Kenanai. Prabhupada quotes that also.
The qualification of the spiritual master is not to be qualified Brahmana. So here the verse says that Brahmanas are the teachers and spiritual masters of the society, right? So what qualifies a spiritual master is not just being a Brahmana. He should be well versed with Krishna's science also. Krishna Tattva. E Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hai.
Prabhupada says that. Then, Bahubhyo Vartata Kshatram. Kshatriyas Tadanuvrata. Yojatastrayate Varnan. Paurusha Kantakas Kshatat.
This is about the Kshatriyas. They are manifested from the arms of the Lord. Then, protection of Praja. Prabhupada gives some more points that protection of Praja doesn't mean protection of human beings only. One has to protect the animals also. So, in some kingdom, when animal slaughter is happening so rampantly, so he is not a proper Kshatriya.
Then, modern elected presidents cannot even give protection to protection from theft cases, and therefore one has to take protection from insurance company. The problems of modern society are due to the lack of qualified Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and the over influence of Vaishnavas and Sudras. Okay, next verse 32. Vishovartantatasyorvor Lokavrittikarisvibho Vaishyastadubhavo Vartam Ranamya Samavartayat. So Vaishyas, their activity is mercantile. There are different kinds of Vaishyas. Prabhupada says one type is Kshetri, they are the landowners. Then there is Krishana, they are land tillers. Then Talavanik, they are grain raisers. Gandhavanik, they are merchants in spices. Then Suvarnavanik, they are merchants in gold and banking. They are different types of Vaishyas. Then 33. Padbhyam Bhagavato Jande Susrusha Dharma Siddhaye Tasyam Jata Pura Sudro Yadvritya Tushyate Hari. So, service. Service to the Lord is the real occupational constitution by the living entities. Right? Service is the important constitutional position.
of living entity. Mental speculation is meant for jnani. So he should not waste time with mental speculation. Better he do some service. It is actually better to be a sudra than to be a brahmana and not develop the service attitude, because that attitude alone satisfies the Lord. Okay. One more verse. Like kind of summary or the conclusion of this Varna section.
Ete Varna Swadharmena Yajanti Swagurum Harim Shraddhayatma Vishuddhyartam Yajjata Sahavrittibhi.
All varnas are described, right? Living conditions are described. But for unconditional life, we can close it, wind it up. For unconditional life and self-realization, one has to worship the Supreme Lord under the direction of Guru. This is an important verse, 34. Very important purport also. Everyone in some way is born from different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord only. Right? Just like we always say, all the limbs of the body are supposed to serve the body. Similarly, all living entities who have taken birth from the body of the Supreme Lord are supposed to serve the Supreme Lord. That's what Prabhupada says. In subhuman life, the living entities are not conscious of this constitutional position of service to the Supreme Lord. But in human life, he is supposed to know all this. Right? In conditioned life, the soul is under the impression that he can lord over the universe. Right? And the last snare of Maya is to make him think that he is the Supreme Lord. So if the Supreme were to become conditioned by illusion, where would be his supremacy? So if he thinks that he is supreme, then how can he come under conditioned modes? Right? So he cannot be supreme. Living entities are conditioned, they cannot be supreme. That is the conclusion. The actual position of the conditioned soul is explained in this verse. All the conditioned souls are impure due to contact with material energy in three modes. Therefore, it is necessary that they purify themselves under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, who not only is a brahmana by qualification, but must also be a Vaishnav. The only self-purifying process mentioned herein is the worship of the Lord under the recognized method, which is guidance of Guru. So these are some important points in this purport. Other methods of purification are helpful only if they can bring the person to this stage of surrendering to Guru and performing devotional service to the Lord. Right? So that ends the description of universal form. We'll take a short break and continue. There is some explanation for it, which I don't know at this point. Question is, how come the ghosts are situated above the middle planetary systems, right? I'm not even, I'll have to check though. Yeah, those are mentioned. Correct. Even in Kapildev's teachings also, gradation of living entities are there. There also something like that comes. I'll have to exactly check. I don't... Okay. They can control the human.
एतत् क्षत्र भगवतो दैवकर्मात्मरूपिण कश्रद्धध्यात् उपाकर्तुं योगमाया बलोदयम्
Gigantic universal form is there. Who can understand the length and breadth of this form? It's not possible. That's what Maitreya Muni said. As far as my understanding was, I explained you something, but it's beyond the comprehension of great souls also, and we should not speculate, mental speculation to understand also. Right? It's manifested by internal potency of the Lord. This universal form also, right? So many ingredients are external potency also, but ultimately the source of those external ingredients is also internal potency only, right? So Bhurijan Prabhu just makes some comments about this. I didn't read that. Maybe I can read in this context. The Vishwarupa is like a blueprint of the universe. As a material manifestation of the Lord, it cannot strictly be called His form, because His form is ever spiritual and never material. Nevertheless, Lord pervades and is non-different from the entire material creation. The subtle material form by which the Lord pervades the universe, as we discussed, is the universal form. So, universal form is considered the first avatara, first descent into the material realm, right? So, descent is happening through the medium of internal potency. Now, even after describing the universal form, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? There is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite potencies. Right? Yadyad vibhuti matsattvam srimadurjitamevava tattatevavagacchattvam mama tejamsa sambhavam. It's merely a spark of my splendor. So even I will not be able to completely describe all my potencies to you. Then, even in this purport, Prabhupada quotes a verse from the universal form section of the Bhagavad Gita. Aneka bahudara vaktaranyatram pasyamitvam sarvatonantarupam nantam namadhyam napunastavadim pasyami visveshwar visvarupa. Arjuna was given divine vision to see this universal form, and Krishna is personally standing there and manifesting the universal form. So you see this. But Arjuna, after seeing this, he could not completely understand what's happening there. Right? And how can the froggish philosophers understand this? That's what is Prabhupada's argument. Who else would be able to do so if Arjuna could not do so? So froggish philosophers, Prabhupada many times says about froggish, froggish, froggish. Prabhupada gives the story that a frog wants to measure the extent of Pacific Ocean. He just increased his belly and then it was burst. It was dead. So that is the froggish philosopher. The best path is to become a cool-headed, submissive devotee of the Lord and try to hear about the Lord from a bona fide spiritual master and thus serve the Lord in transcendental loving service as suggested in the previous verse. 34. So don't speculate and don't try to understand. So do service, try to hear from bona fide source. So that is the conclusion of the section. So now one will not be able to understand completely. One will not be able to completely describe properly. If you cannot understand, what he will you describe? But still, why so much is written and so much discussion is happening? The impetus for all these kinds of discussion is 36th verse. Very encouraging verse, at the same time caution note also.
Tathapi kirtayam yangam yatha mati yatha shritam kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhidasatim.
Tathapi kirtayam yanga. Anga is vidura here. Anga means, literally means it's a bodily limb. When someone is addressed as anga, you have to understand that the speaker is feeling so much intimacy with the hearer. That's why he is addressing like that. Anga means, oh my intimate vidura, my dear vidura. Tathapi kirtayam yanga. Tathapi, even though I cannot understand completely, I don't know completely, still kirtayami, I will glorify the Lord. Right? According to what? Yatha mati yatha shrutam. Whatever I have been able to hear and whatever I could assimilate from what I heard. Right? Yatha mati yatha shrutam. Kirtim hare swam satkartum. Swam satkartum means swam is oneself. Satkartum means to purify one's own self. I will speak. Although I am unable to speak, still I will speak for my own purification, based on what I heard and what I assimilated. Giram anyabhida asatim. Giram is the power of my speech will remain unchaste. Anyabhida, if it is otherwise engaged, it will remain unchaste. When the giram, when the power of speech is there, one will have the impetus to speak. But if he doesn't engage that speaking impetus in glorifying Krishna, it will remain unchaste. He will speak some other nonsense. So better is to speak about Krishna based on what we have heard and what we have understood, assimilated. Yathamati yathashrutam. This is also a very important verse. So Prabhupada says that the purification of conditioned soul necessitates purification of his consciousness. Right? The consciousness is perceived by one's activities and that consciousness has to be purified by doing the right activity. That is anyabhida asatim. Otherwise it will remain unjust. So unless engaged consciousness has no standing, consciousness cannot remain silent even for a moment. Right? So better don't try to stop the consciousness. Don't try to stop the activities of consciousness. Better engage them, give them a positive activity. That is the theme of Prabhupada's first paragraph. Although we cannot understand him completely, still one will attempt to glorify him. Even in the second canto, Brahmaji describes whole thing to Narada Muni, and towards the end he says, although I have no ability to describe or fathom the Lord's glories completely, still I will describe. I have described. You also describe. That's what Narada Muni was told to by Brahmaji. So the second paragraph is very important. We'll read every line of this. Maitreya's statement is that in order to avoid unchaste conscious activities, he was trying to describe the unlimited glories of the Lord. Although he did not have the ability to describe them. So unchaste. Even in the second canto, Bilebato Rukrama Vikramanye, what is the next line? Yes, Srunvatam Karana Pute Narasya Jihvasiti Dardurikeva Sutta Nachopagaya Turugaya Gatha. So eyes, not eyes, ears, na? Ears will remain like snake holes if we can't hear the glories of the Lord. Tongues are like frogs if we don't speak about Krishna. Right? Means tongue is there, ear senses are there, they have to be engaged in some way or the other. Best way of engagement is in glorification of Krishna. Otherwise they will be engaged in a nonsensical way. Right? Jihva asatim. This is giram anyabhida asatim. Good. So that is what Prabhupada is saying in this first sentence. This glorification of the Lord is not a product of research. Now the next line, see. Yathamati yathashrutam, very important line. One has to describe the glories of the Lord, but not concocting the glories of the Lord. Right? Concoction will lead to deviation. Yathamati yathashrutam. This glorification of the Lord is not a product of research, but the result of hearing submissively from the authority of the spiritual master. That is yathashrutam. It is also not possible to repeat all of them, repeat all that one has heard from his spiritual master, but one can narrate as far as possible by one's honest endeavor. Now, yathashrutam, we will hear from a bona fide source. We hear from spiritual master, read from Prabhupada's book, and definitely we cannot understand the whole thing, but whatever we are understanding, we can present. That is yathashrutam, yathamati. Yatha Shrutam means whatever we have heard. Yatha Mati means whatever we have understood or assimilated. For example, if some very great devotee, pure devotee is giving a talk, you just take the lecture transcription and you repeat. How does it look like? Right? So his realizations, the magnitude of his understanding, the depth of his devotional service is much superior to us. So although we may hear his whole 1 hour lecture, we understand we get only few points. Right? We can only understand only a bit of it. We can relate to only some portion of it. So that portion at least we'll repeat. Like that. Yathamati yathashrutam. It is also not possible to repeat all that one has heard from his spiritual master, but one can narrate as far as possible by one's honest endeavor. Honest endeavor. It does not matter whether the Lord's glories are fully explained or not. One must attempt to engage one's bodily, mental and verbal activities in the transcendental glorification of the Lord. Prabhupada is paraphrasing one verse in 10th canto, 14th chapter. Brahmaji's prayers. Right? Bodily, mental and verbal activities. I don't remember exactly. Tatena kampam sasamiksha. Hridvar Vapurbhir Vidhadan Namaste. Something similar. Hridvag Vapur. Right, na? No. Something else is also there. Anyways. The existence of the conditioned soul can be purified only by the method of engaging mind and speech in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada gives the examples of Tridandi Sannyasi and Ekadandi Sannyasi. Tridandi Sannyasi means he dedicates his body, mind and words in glorification of Krishna. Ekadandi means it represents that I am one with Krishna, one with the Lord. So that is difference. Vani Gunayanu Kathani. The glories of the Lord as chanted by a Vaishnava Sannyasi are as substantial as the Lord Himself. Speaking about Krishna is not an ordinary activity. Because Krishna, when it is done sincerely, Krishna is personally present there. What is that reference? Tatra tishtami narada yadra gayanti madbhakta. Naham tishtami vaikunte sadhunam hradiyeshiva yadra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. So, Krishna, Vishnu or the Supreme Lord is not staying in Vaikuntha or the hearts of the yogis, but he is staying where his glorification is going on. And the glorification of Krishna will attract Krishna only. As we discussed some time back, the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath manifested because Krishna got so absorbed in his own glories described by his devotees. Right? So it is attractive to Krishna. The glories of the Lord chanted by Vaishnava Sannyasi are substantial as the Lord Himself, and thus while glorifying the Lord, the devotees become one with Him in transcendental interest, although He remains eternally a transcendental servitor. So, oneness with the Lord means oneness in interest. This simultaneously being one and different position of the devotee makes him eternally purified, and thus his life becomes a complete success. Yeah. So dedication to glorification of the Lord. Nauttama shloka vartanam jishatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramontakalabhi smartam tadamadam vidam. If one dedicates his whole life in glorifying the Supreme Lord, even at the time of death, he will not run into any misconceptions. Very clear conception, no confusion at the time of death also. He is not bewildered. So this the whole verse and purport says it's not according to one's it's not the quantity that is important, it is the quality that is important. One has to do according to one's capacity, quantity, expertise, smartness in trying to present Krishna Katha is not that as important as a genuine willingness and eagerness to glorify Krishna. So outside world there are so many fan clubs, right? If one person loves a Bollywood or Hollywood hero, he will sing his songs, or he will speak about him to some people, or he will imitate his hairstyles, this and that, so many things happen. Hero worship is there outside, but we have access to supreme hero, Krishna, so why not speak about him? This is a very encouraging verse. Gauranga Prabhu says that the daily wage of a brahmachari is his hearing and chanting. Daily wage. We are working for free, right? We don't work for payment. But the payment that we get is to be able to hear Krishna Katha. So, it's mentioned in the first canto, somewhere in towards the end, that the sky is unlimited. But the bird will fly into the sky according to the capacity of his flying. Similarly, the glories of the Supreme Lord are unlimited. But a devotee speaks about the glories of the Lord as far as the power of description given to him by the Lord goes. Right? The power of description is also given by the Supreme Lord only. Utilize that in glorifying him. That is the whole point. One may not be able to do a complete glorification of all his glories, but to whatever extent one can fly into the sky, we should fly. That is a very encouraging note in this verse. So, yeah, basically Lord gives powers for some time, for some reason. So those, one should not be puffed up because of those powers. He should be utilizing them in Krishna's service, and once the service is in, Krishna will take them back also. So one has singing skills, one has speaking skills, he can utilize them. Yes. And the encouraging note is that one should speak according to one's ability, but the warning note is yathamati yathashrutam. One should speak according to what he has heard and what he has understood. This line is both encouraging and giving a caution also. Right? One cannot concoct. One should remain chaste to the parampara. What we speak is not what we concoct from our brains, but what we have studied, what we have heard, and what we have honestly understood, at least to some extent. Right? When a speaker is transparent, then the mercy of parampara flows through him. When the speaker is acting like a wall between the audience and the parampara, then where is the mercy of parampara? Right? Yathamati yathashrutam is the most important word here. Right? One has to sincerely study and present that way. Okay, next. Maitreya is further glorifying in the next verse. That the hearing and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfectional stage of life. Very important verse.
Ekantalabham vajaso nupumsam susloka mauler gunavada mahu srutescha vidvadbhirupakritayam kathasudhayam upasamprayogam.
Ekantalabham, one and only gain that has no comparison. Ekantalabham, right?
Vachaso anupumsam.
So vachaso is the discussion. Whose discussion? Pumsam. Pumsam is not the living entity here, the Supreme Lord. The descriptions or the discussions about the Supreme Lord are the ekantalabham, are the one and only gain that living entity can attain, and that has no comparison. Shloka Maulir Gunavada Mahu, right? About the glorification of Sushloka, who is glorified in best poetry.
Uttama Shloka, like that.
Srutescha Vidvadbhir Upakritayam. Srutescha of the ear, Vidvadbhir of the, by the learned, Upakritayam, being so edited. Another point here is one has to absorb in glorification, and again the parampara aspect is emphasized here. Sritesha Vidvadbhir Upakritayam, these are presented or edited or written by greatly learned sages, nicely arranged in writing. Right? So we are not Sruthidars that we just hear and then memorize the whole thing. But for Kali Yuga people like us, Vyasadeva has written it, Prabhupada has commented on it, and many other acharyas have commented on it. So utilize that. Utilizing that is the ekantalabham for all of us.
Srutescha vidvadbhir upakritayam kathasudhayam upasamprayogam.
It's the srutescha means the ears will attain their perfection, right? The real purpose of it is served, upasamprayogam, only when one utilizes the writings of the acharyas which are written about Krishna. One verse in the Prithimara section comes, Vinoda Patram. How does it begin? One who thinks that he can repay his debt to the acharyas is like a joker. That's our main verse actually. I don't know. Somehow I forgot the beginning. Okay. If I recollect, then we can recite. Konama Trupyat, no, not Konama Trupyat. Okay, some verses there. That is Vinoda Patram. Means great acharyas have given their writings, given their teachings in the form of their writings, right? And they have explained it so nicely, thoroughly, right, for the benefit of all of us. And we have to hear. If we think that we can repay them, repay the debt, then we are like jokers. Yes, Prabhu? Yairidrishi Bhagavato Gatiratma Vada Ekantato Negamabhi Pratipadita na ತುಷ್ಯಂತ್ವದಭ್ರ ಕರುಣಾ ಸ್ವಕೃತೇನ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಕೋ ನಾಮ ತತ್ ಪ್ರತಿಕರೋತಿ ವಿನೋದ ಪಾತ್ರಂ. ತುಷ್ಯಂತಿ ಅದಭ್ರ ಕರುಣಾ ಸ್ವಕೃತೇನ ನಿತ್ಯಂ, ಸೊ ಯು ಕೆನಾಟ್ ರೀಪೇ ದಮ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ಬೈ ದೇರ್ ಓನ್ ಅಟೆಂಪ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೇರ್ ಮೆರ್ಸಿ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ ಸೋಲ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್? ಒನ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ರಿಪೇ ದಮ್. ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಪೇ ದ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್, ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡನ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅಸ್, ಸೊ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಡೂ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಸಮ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಪೇ ದಮ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದೋ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್, ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಆಸ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಇಂಡೇಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಸೆವರಲ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಲೈಕ್ ಡೇಮಿ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್, ಲೈಕ್ ಮದರ್, ಫೋರ್ ಫಾದರ್ಸ್, ದಿಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್. ಬಟ್ ಒನ್ ಡೆಟ್ ಹೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೆವರ್ ರಿಪೇ ಇಸ್ ದ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ, ದ ಗುರುಸ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ವಿನೋದ ಪಾತ್ರಂ, ವಿನಾ ಉದ ಪಾತ್ರ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೂ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಪೇ ದ ಡೆಟ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ವಿನೋದ ಪಾತ್ರಂ, ಜೋಕರ್, ಹೂಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಲಾಫ್ಟರ್. ಆರ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಪೇ ದೆಮ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬೈ ವಿನಾ ಉದ ಪಾತ್ರಂ, ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಜಾಯಿನ್ ದ ಪಾಮ್ಸ್, ಟೇಕ್ ವಾಟರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಆಫರ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ವೇ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರೆಸಿಪ್ರೋಕೇಟ್, ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನಾಟ್ ರೆಸಿಪ್ರೋಕೇಟ್. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ದೆಮ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್. Gunavadam is significant because the qualities of the Lord and his activities and pastimes are the subject matter for discussions of devotees. Jiva Goswami concludes, the topics regarding the transcendental activities of the Lord are far beyond the transcendental realization of Kaivalya happiness. Right? That's why if you see the great prayers of all the devotees, they are with the desires of opportunities to hear, because that is ekanta labham, that is the one and only gain that we can attain. Even while in sadhaka stage or even while in the perfect stage also, even after going to Vaikuntha also, one has to be absorbed in the thoughts and glories of the Lord only. This is what is constantly happening in Vaikuntha. Bhaktim mohu pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanja solbana muru vyasanam bhavabdim neshye bhavad guna kathamrita panamatta. Dhruva Maharaj is saying that I don't want to merge into impersonal Brahman, or I don't want the heavenly planets. Just keep me in the association of your devotees and allow me to hear from them. Neshye bhavad guna kathamrita panamatta. I can easily cross over the material ocean because I am intoxicated by hearing your glories. Guna panamatta, right? By hearing, by drinking the glories through my ears, I am intoxicated. That is sufficient for me. That can easily make me cross over the material ocean. I don't separately pray for you. For that. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam kathamritam shravana puteshu samrutam. We hear all this. This is somewhere similar. Atmano vishato vatsa mahima mahima kavinadhina samvatsara sahasrante ಧಿಯಾ ಯೋಗ ವಿಪಕ್ಯತ. ಸೊ ಚಕ್ರವರ್ತಿ ಬಾಜಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ 1000 years ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಜಿ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ಡ್, ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್ ರಿಚ್ ದಿಸ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್, ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್? ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ವರ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಆಸ್ impossible to understand since they were inconceivable and infinite. This is the understanding of Brahmaji after 1000 years. So if Brahmaji cannot understand, how can the froggish philosophers understand? That is Prabhupada's point. So Mahatmas take shelter of the divine potency, Srimati Radharani, and thus involve in hearing and chanting. So Mahatmas are not important. Another point, Mahatmas however are not concerned with knowing the Lord by mental speculation, because they enjoy hearing about his glorious activities in his transcendental dealings with his devotees or with the demons. The devotees take pleasure in both and are happy in this life and in the life after. So like mental speculators, they don't want to figure out things on their own, and they have no desire, no ambition to figure out everything. Right? But devotees, they just simply hear the katha and then they are happy in this life and the next life. Now, further example of the inconceivability of the Lord is mentioned in 39th verse.
अतो भगवतो माया मायिनाम अपि मोहिनी यत् स्वयं चात्मवर्त्मात्मा न वेद किमुता परे। So it is unknown to other people also. They may be great jugglers, but it doesn't mean that they can understand. Mayinam api mohinim. So mayinam are the jugglers. Api mohinim. Lord's potency can bewilder those mayinam also. Lord's maya is powerful than those mayinam people. Right? Nahyasya karhi chitrajan puman veda vidishitam yad vijignasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. Even great souls are bewildered. Khidyati dhir vidamiha. We read in last chapter. But even jugglers are bewildered by wonderful potency of the Supreme Lord. Now, Prabhupada is writing, the most wonderful puzzle for the mundane wranglers is that while they remain calculating the length and breadth of the unlimited potency of Supreme Person, His faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of material engagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Supreme Lord. Lord is manifesting so many miracles and wonderful things. And atheistic people or philosophers or froggish philosophers wants to understand why this is happening. Let me experiment and figure out what is the reason for it. And they just remain here. But devotees, they appreciate it. You know, they clap, okay, my Lord is so powerful, and then he will go back to Godhead. That is the difference between the jugglers and devotees. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a talk in some foreign country. He said, I have seen so many magics of so many yogis and musicians. One day I was sitting under a banyan tree and thinking, this one banyan fruit has so many seeds, and each seed can potentially give rise to another big banyan tree like this. So, compared to the wonder of this material nature, the miracles that all these yogis are performing are insignificant. I came to this realization. Maharaj was sharing like that. Right? And the person behind the activities of all this material nature is the Supreme Lord. So, devotees will get attracted to and clap the miracles done by the Supreme Lord through the medium of material nature, or in His creation, maintenance and destruction, or as His incarnations in the different pastimes, right? And they go back to Godhead. But ordinary people, they are also wondered, but they want to figure out what is happening here. When devotee sees water, rasoham apsu kaunteya. But when scientist sees water, he wants to do some experiment. What are the molecules in it and how to do manipulate things and this and that. That Prabhupada is saying. So the tree, same example is quoted here. So the trees like banyan tree and seeds engage the devotees in meditation about the activities of the Lord, while the mundane wranglers waste time in dry speculation and mental concoction which are fruitless in both this life and next life. Seeing a banyan seed, devotee will grow into the meditation of glories of the Lord, right? And he will go back to Godhead. But on the other way, that's what happens. That's why Krishna will preserve His right not to manifest Himself to such people. Naham prakashe sarvasya yoga maya samavrata maya javanika achannam. The curtain of maya is blocking their understanding of the Supreme Lord, because they are not qualified. And Krishna is not obliged to reveal Himself to them just because they are challenging. He preserves the right not to reveal to them. Next, 40th verse, last verse.
Yato prapyanya वर्तन्त वाचश्च मनसा सह अहम् चान्य इमे देवास् तस्मै भगवते नमः।
Simply have to
So words, mind and ego, right, they could not, and their respective controlling demigods. So they failed to achieve success in knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who are the controlling demigods? Chakvarpa says, Brihaspati, Rudra and other devatas, they gave up. We cannot understand the Supreme Lord. We give up. That's what they said. We'll read Chakvartipa's commentary on this verse. Interesting. So basically Maitreya Muni is giving different arguments or some points to prove the point that Supreme Lord cannot be comprehended. His activities cannot be understood completely. The power of speech of the universal form and all the individual jivas along with their minds retreated from the Lord. We cannot understand. Are the words emanating from Brahma's mouth along with his mind retreated? We cannot understand the Lord. Rudra, the presiding deity of Ahankara, and the devatas such as Brihaspati retreated from him. Why? They retreated because they could not completely comprehend the sweetness of his name, form, pastimes, and could find no end to them. That's why they just, we give up. We can't fathom. Nantam gunanam agunasya jagmur yogeshwaraye. Not this. Bhavapadma mukhya. That's one verse. Even Yogeshwaras also cannot figure out. That also is relevant in this context. Another, Adisesha cannot glorify the Lord to the complete extent. That comes somewhere in, next to that. Or the next 2.7 towards the end. Nantam vidame hamami munayogra jaste maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye gayan gunan dasha shatanana adideva seshodhunapi nabavasyati nasya param. Gayan gunan dasha shatanana adideva, the first incarnation, the Sesha incarnation of the Supreme Lord with his thousands of mouth, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord since time immemorial, and we continue to do so for the rest of eternity. Still he cannot completely enumerate the glories of the Lord. In that, thus the Lord is aprapya. It is impossible to measure the Lord because of his infinity. Thus words and mind are both mentioned. Now Prabhupada says, if Lord is unknowable, why devotees take interest in the unknowable? When somebody asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, if you cannot understand the Supreme Lord, why you have written so many books? You should have written, we cannot understand Supreme Lord, one book published, done. The Prabhupada said, by reading all these books, you should understand that you cannot understand Krishna. Like that. Using one's intelligence, one should understand that with one's intelligence, one cannot understand Krishna. But bhaktiyama abhijanati, with bhakti one can understand Krishna to whatever extent is needed for him. Right? That's what Prabhupada says here. Bhaktiyama abhijanati yavan yasyasmi tattvatah. Unless one releases transcendental joy, naturally one will come back from his speculations and concocted conclusions because he will see them as neither factual nor enjoyable. Okay, one has to follow in the footsteps of great sages like Maitreya, Vidura, Parikshit, Sukadeva, Goswami, and engage in devotional service if one would know his ultimate future, which is above Brahman and Parma. So that is about some understanding of the Lord. Now Vidura gets more questions. That is 3.7. We'll discuss few verses of this. We have some 20 minutes.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Bruvana Maitreyam Dvaipayana Suto Buddha Prinayan Iva Bharatya Vidura Pratyabhashata.
So
Vidura placed his more inquiries now in a pleasing manner, so with sweet words. Now
Vidura seemed to be pleasingly asking Maitreya, but Chakravartipa says actually he could not please Maitreya because at this stage Vidura is getting some questions in his mind. Maitreya could understand, he has some doubts. So next one rasic point that he gives. Now after hearing so many activities of the Lord in relation to creation, maintenance, destruction and universal form, Vidura got so many questions. What are the questions? Second chapter, second verse. Vidura uvacha
Brahman katham bhagavatas chinmatrasya vikarina lilaya chapi yujyeran nirgunasya guna kriyaha.
So question is, to summarize, Supreme Lord here, he has heard that Lord is participating in the activities of creation. These are like material activities. This is material creation, right? Material creation means Lord is dealing with matter, he is doing some material activity there. Right? If he is all spiritual, what is this? Chinmatra. So if he is all spiritual, how can he contact the material modes? How can he deal with them? How can he touch them? And even if you say it is his pastime that he is doing so, if this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and qualities and exhibit qualities without modes? Even if you say if it is his pastime of dealing with material energy, he is unchangeable, right? Then how will he exhibit any activity? If he is unchangeable, activity means some kind of transformation, some kind of change should happen. But how could he have any change? Chakravartipada explains these questions nicely. Because the Lord cannot be separated from his Shakti, his Maya is his Shakti, the Lord must have material gunas. Material nature has material modes. Right? So if material nature is Lord's Shakti, material qualities also should belong to the Lord. But if his Lord is all spiritual, how can he have material qualities? That is the question. Then, and if he has these gunas, modes, then how can he be called spiritual? That is the essence of first question. Understanding, no? The next question is, transformation is caused by time and is the quality of gunas. But because Lord is purely spiritual and changeless, how can he perform actions which indicate change? Two questions. How can the Lord contact the modes, material, which are material? Second question. If he is unchangeable, how can he do any activity, right, which involves change or transformation? These are the questions about the Lord. Confusions about the Lord. Prabhupada removes all suspense and gives all conclusions in this purport only. So we'll discuss very elaborate and sweet purport. Difference between Lord and living entity. That's how Prabhupada begins. Lord creates this cosmic manifestation through his potencies, but living entity is bewildered by that manifestation. Lord is creating the manifestation. Living entity is bewildered. Lord is not bewildered. Then, next, Lord is master, living entities are subjugated. So, less intelligent people will think that Lord and living entity are on the same level. So, avajanantim ammoda, like that. Now, the word chinmatra here in this verse indicates that Lord is completely spiritual at all times, in spite of interacting with material modes or potencies. So Lord creates both temporary and permanent phenomena by his unlimited potencies. He is all pure and his incarnations are all pure. Right? So he is nirguna, means he doesn't have material qualities, although he may interact with the material qualities. Now, one example is given. Still, material potency is a part of Lord only. So, analogy is, a juggler or magician is there. The magician do some magic and he becomes a cow. So, you cannot call the magician a cow. You can also not say that the cow is not the magician. Right? Like that, Supreme Lord is dealing with material energy, but he is not affected by the material energy. In that sense, he is aloof. At the same time, that potency is his only. So Lord maintains his transcendence when descends into material world. Although he is entering the material world and dealing with matter, he is still transcendental. So the conclusion is, Lord is saguna by his internal potency and nirguna by not being in touch with the material energy. Right? That's the same thing we have discussed in first canto. Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tadgunaihi na yujyate sadatmaste sada tadbhava bhavita. Lord, although he is in touch with the material energy, still he is not affected by it. This is the divinity of the Lord. Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tadgunaihi na yujyate. We have read this, no, in the first canto. We have written this in exams also. Nobody is responding, that's why I got it. So creation, maintenance and destruction are material activities. Lord is involved in the material activities, but he is not affected by the material activities. Similarly, devotees also are not affected by material activities if they are serving the Supreme Lord, if they are doing devotional service. Devotees also have to deal with matter, right, as a part of their service. But they are not entangled in matter if they are conscious of Krishna. Okay, next verse. At least we will finish the questions part today. Then tomorrow we will discuss the answers.
Kridayam udyamor bhasyam kamaschikridishan yata svatah triptasya cha katham Nivrittasya sadantaya.
So, in the second verse, Vidura asked questions, essentially two questions, and he is explaining them in 4.3 and 4. How do you get this kind of doubt, Baba? So I have a strong logic behind it. He says, boys want to play for their personal sense gratification or whatever. But Lord is Atmanam, he is self-satisfied at all times. So he need not play like this. You may give me answer that Lord is playing with his potencies, but he is self-satisfied. Why will he get a desire to play only?
Also, the boys may get desire to play and perform action when there is association of other boys. Boys want to play, and boys want to play with other boys. Right? But the Lord has nothing external to him. Everything belongs to him only. Right? So there is no external being to associate with him. So everything emanates from the Lord and self-expansion only. So why is he doing all this? Then, although the Lord is self-satisfied, he is not expected to be involved in actions of creation, still he seems to be involved. This should involve interaction with gunas.
Because he is like a boy, he is not having any desire to play, means he should not have any desire to do any activity, but still he is doing the activity of creation. He is doing the activity of creation means he is dealing with material energy. Right? How is this possible?
Fourth verse. Asrakshit Bhagavan Vishwam Gunamaya Atmamayaya Tayasam Sthapayatyetad Bhuya Pratyapadhasyati. So this is what he is doing. How does this happen? That's what he is asking in the fourth verse. So two two, second verse is the questions. Three and four are like supporting his question. Then fifth verse. So in the first two, three, four verses, Vidura asked questions about the Lord. Now in the fourth and fifth verses, he will ask questions about the Jiva. Let's see what are the questions. Five.
Deshatah kalato yosav. Avasthata svatonyata. Aviluptava bodhatma. Sayujyeta jaya katham.
Now that is about Supreme Lord. Now come to the soul. Jiva is pure spirit soul. How can pure spirit soul be illusioned? That is the theme of this question. How can he come under the influence of Maya? He is spiritual soul, like the Lord only. That is his question in number 5. So the basis of Vidura's enquiry is, Jiva is a spiritual object. Its knowledge should not be lost. If he is spiritual, he should not be lost. His knowledge should not be lost. And why Prabhupada explains that the cause of Jiva's bewilderment is because of the avidya potency of the Lord, which covers the Jiva. Prabhupada generally removes the suspense. Because Tukaram Prabhupada is saying, Prabhupada repeats the conclusion several times in the whole series, right, in many of his purports. Otherwise, on our own selves, we cannot figure out the conclusion only. So now in Vidyapit we are discussing the whole chapter like this. But otherwise, you ask other devotees who are doing services, they may read some 4 or 5 verses today, and after 1 week they may open the book. Services may not allow, and the impetus is not there, or after all, this is Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada generally repeats the conclusions several times.
Chakvartupadi is giving this purport. How can the Jiva be bewildered by Maya? How can the Jiva, whose awareness cannot be destroyed by place and time, become associated with ignorance? How does the Jiva lose knowledge in the association of ignorance? The Jiva becomes affected by place, just as a seed sown in barren earth does not grow. The Jiva is influenced by time, just as lightning is affected by time.
So basically, how can Jiva be illusioned by Maya, bewildered by Maya? That is the question. These are like auxiliary, corollary questions only. Chakravartipadi is explaining, like zooming into the whole question. He doesn't give the answer, generally.
Then sixth verse. Bhagavan eka evaisha sarvakshatre shvavasthita amushyadurbhagatvamva kleshova karma bhikkuta. Second question is, now super soul is present with the soul only. First question, what is that fifth may? What is the first question? How can the pure spirit soul be illusion?
Second question, if the super soul is with the Jiva, how can he suffer? He himself is spiritual, on top of it super soul is also present with him, then how can he do engage in any suffering?
Those are his two questions. So analogy, Prabhupada gives an analogy to explain this inquiry of Vidura,
that a citizen is there, he may suffer. But how can the citizen suffer when in the presence of the king? Means the Jiva is there along with the super soul. How can he suffer in the presence of the super soul?
The reason for his inquiry is, Jiva being qualitatively one with the Lord cannot be covered by nisayans in his personal presence.
One may say Jiva may be covered by avidya potency, but super soul is right there. How can he still be covered?
These are the questions of Vidura.
Two questions about the Lord, two questions about the Jiva.
Now, in the seventh verse, he is requesting, etasmin me mano vidvan khidyate jnana shankate tannah purana తన్న పురాణుద విభో కస్మలం మానసం మహత్. So this is my position, please clear my doubts. Shri Suka Uvacha Saitam Chodita Kshatra Tattva Jignasuna Muni Pratyaha Bhagavat Chitta Smayan Ivagata Smaya. Interesting purport Prabhupada writes, Maitreya seemed to be astonished by these kind of inquiries of Vidura. What is he asking? Just for a moment he was little wondered. Right? Externally expressed surprise, but because he is a fully God-conscious devotee, he immediately started answering. Prabhupada says, anyone who is a devotee of the Lord knows about the Lord to some extent. And devotional service to the Lord makes him able to know everything by the grace of the Lord. He is a devotee, he knows something. And by Lord's mercy, he will know everything that is needed. Although a devotee may apparently express himself to be ignorant, he is full of knowledge in every intricate matter. Apparently, Maitreya is a little bewildered. Bewildered means like astonished initially. But because he is a devotee, he began to answer. Now in the 9th verse, Maitreya just removes any kind of misunderstandings about the position of the Lord in the 9th verse. Maitreya uvacha seyam bhagavato maya yannayena virudhyate ishvarasya vimuktasya karpanyam utabandhanam. So now Maitreya says, correct, what you are saying is correct. Sometimes we hear that conditioned souls, they put forward arguments. Lord is overcome by illusion, at the same time he is unconditioned. This is totally illogical. He just clarifies. Right? So, in the next series of verses, he establishes three things. That, I'll just give a summary and we'll discuss tomorrow. Illusory energy or the Maya is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord only. It's not separate. One point. Second, illusory energy is a part of Maya. It will bewilder the soul, but not the Master, not the Supreme Lord. So, although spirit soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and the Maya is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, by the will of the Supreme Lord, one potency can bewilder the other potency. The Maya of the Lord can bewilder the Jiva, although both are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord is not bewildered. So that is the conclusive understanding of this whole series. So, now common argument, Prabhupada writes in this 9th purport, the argument given is, illusory potency will cover the living entity, has no connection with the 100% Supreme Lord, has no connection. That's how some people may interpret. So, Prabhupada gives several arguments refuting this process. When Vyasadeva meditated in the first canto, where 7th chapter, he saw both the Lord and external energy of the Lord in his meditation. Right? So, external energy has connection with the Lord. External energy of the Lord. And external energy of the Supreme Lord only. It belongs to the Lord. So, there is no meaning to the energetic without energy. And there is no existence of the energy without the energetic. So they are connected, definitely. Analogy is given. Very nice, brilliant analogy which removes, clarifies the whole thing. There is sun, which is all light. And sun is the cause of clouds, darkness, snowfall, and means sun is the cause of both sunshine and at the same time cloud also and darkness also, right? So, but when clouds appear, they will affect the sun rays, not the sun. Similarly, Supreme Lord is the cause of Maya and living entity also. He is like the sun. Living entity is like the sunshine. Cloud is like the Maya. So when cloud comes, it will cover the sunshine, not the sun. Similarly, Maya can cover the living entity, not the Supreme Lord. With that analogy, Prabhupada clarifies the whole thing. So darkness or clouds can never cover the sun. So this he quotes from Chakravartipad and Jiva Goswami. Another argument is, how can the living entity which is superior to material energy gets overpowered? Refutation. Just now we said, na, clouds can cover the sun rays, but not the sun. Similarly, Maya can overpower the living entity, not the sun, not the Supreme Lord. So this is the thing. So now the details are there from 10th verse. We will discuss tomorrow. Kritra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Joy. Questions? Describe the development of the gigantic universal form.
The sheet is there, no?
Describe the development of the gigantic universal form. So basically, the answer is this table. This flow, okay, and if you want you could include some of the purport points in this page. Then next my marks I'll tell bro. Then 10 kinds of air, you want to memorize this, huh? Okay, 10 kinds of air and their definitions, just this second table. 5 marks, we'll decide. Then, describe the manifestation of abodes of different demigods from the universal form. Describe the manifestation of abodes of demigods from the universal form. And next question is, describe the formation of the planets of different people and varnas and their duties. And the same question. Basically the whole answer sheet is this side. Describe the formation of planets for different people and their residences, and different varnas and their duties. So in the third question, that formation of demigods things, you just give the key line in Prabhupada's thing as the Virat Rupa's gross organ is manifesting, the abode for demigod is created and living entities are getting their sensual power to exhibit activities. That much only you write and give one or two examples only from the table. And similarly, Chakravartipad equation you give one or two examples only, not more. So 10 marks each. 10 marks each. And last one, 10 marks is remaining. Na? Summarize the enquiries of Vidura from the 7th chapter. That is 10 marks. 10 5s are 50. Huh? Oh, shloka we didn't give, na? My God. Okay, cancel the last question. And make the life airs question into 5 marks. For 15 marks, give the flow of verse number 35 to 40, and in that question quote 36 and 37 and give the salient points from the purport of 36. Quote 36 and 37, salient points from 36 and 39. This is 15 marks. 36 and 39, Prabhu. Flow of 35 to 40. 6 verses flow, 2 verses code, and 2 verses purports.